Attention musicians, would you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy? Well, you can do it. Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here in their menu, or follow the link in the text of this podcast. Then enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off vinyl cutting with promo code HDIGH. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is from Austin artist and How Did I Get Here favorite, Daisy O'Connor. From her album Ether, this is the song Crazy. Let's get down. I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I had a good weekend. I had a good all around weekend. Went to Houston Friday, played at Last Concert Cafe. It was a jam-packed show. Man, Houston showed the love. That show was lit. It was a little strange. There was a sand area. They made it like a faux beach party. And then they had like a very small porch that was like the VIP section. But it was cool, man. It was fun. It was really hot. It was outside. What are you going to do? I don't know if you guys read that Peter Blackstock article in Austin 360 on Thursday or Friday. That was literally about that very thing. Like, he interviewed all these artists about playing outside. I was a little upset he didn't ask me, because I have a lot of complaints about playing outside in Texas in the summer. It's really hot, man. And for some reason, all the stages face west. They don't make any stages that face east when you play in the summer, man. You get that last bit of shit coming in your face, man, when you're trying to do sound check. It is like 100 and something degrees on the stage. It's insane. Anyway, Friday night after the gig, I went and spent the night with my grandma, my Aunt Olga, my Aunt Christina, and my Uncle Chuck. They were all hanging at my grandma's house. And so we got up Saturday morning, had breakfast, got to catch up with everyone, catch up on the family gossip. Let them know what's going on with my other side of the family gossip. Can I tell you, my dad, he's I don't even want to get into it. My dad's in a scene, man, but right now he's staying at my brother Jeff's house. But it looks like we're in that point, and I'm not laughing, man. I'm laughing because of the absurdity of life. You know, you get to that point where you have to take care of someone, and that's what my brother Jeff, my sister Nicole, and I are all trying to do with my dad right now. Kind of figure out a plan to get him, take care of him for the rest of his life. That's, you know, it's weird to say, but I guess I'm at that age when you do that stuff. And it's weird for me because I have a weird relationship with my dad. I have a strained relationship. I left home after high school, like pretty much right after. I didn't want to be there. I didn't live with my dad my whole life. My parents were divorced when I was a year and a half. I lived with my dad. I moved there when I was 17, right when I turned 17, my mom had died, and I had to go live with my dad. Didn't make it the full 2 years living there, but I lived there like a little over a year and a half, and I split. As soon as I was done, baby. Anyway, so now we got to take care of him, right? So, look, I talk to my dad, but we go through phases where we don't talk. He pisses me off. I piss him off. Something about our relationship is not great. I know a lot of his relationships are strained. I'm not putting all the weight on him. I know that my reactions to him are often a little more drastic than they would be to a regular person, because there's a lot behind my feelings. There's 50 years of anger coming out anytime I get mad at my dad. So it's weird to get to that point in your life. But we're doing it. We're going to take care of him. We got a plan. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hey, gang, I don't know what you're doing this Friday, August 2nd, but if you live in the Hill Country, Skyrocket will be playing at Mercer Street Dance Hall. Come on out. Check it out. It's a good time. That one's inside. Stage faces west, but that's totally okay because we're indoors. Also, I wanted to remind you, if you live in Austin, on Saturday, August 17th, Skyrocket will be playing at 310 ACL Live. Tickets are available. I'll put a link on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page of that. You know, get some tickets, man. Come on out, see us. We don't play in Austin very often. We're very excited to be playing 310. We'd love to sell it out. That would be a great feat for a band that's been around for almost 20 years. Great for us. Anyway, that was it. That was my weekend. And that's what's been going on. The dad thing has been going on. I've been spending hours on the phone, I've told you guys, with my brother and sister trying to figure this thing out. So it's on the forefront of my mind. I've got a very busy week this week. I'm doing a song for the Song Confessional. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but Walker Lukin started this Song Confessional thing where people go in and they tell a story, and then he hands that story off to a band or an artist, and they write a song about it. But he was invited by the Newport Folk Festival to do his confessionals up there. So he was up there all weekend, this last weekend, taking in stories, and now he's sending them out to everyone. And so I get a story from somebody in Newport Folk Festival, and I have a recording session at 5 on Thursday to record the song that I write. And all I need to do is write that song. So, yeah, just got the story. I listened to it today. It was really good. And after I do this intro and put this show together, I'm going to sit down and start working on that song. Anyway, gang, I've got a great show for you guys today. Cowboy Diplomacy is back on the show. Ian Cochran and Brad Bentley stopped by, and they have a brand new single dropping this Friday. It's called The Get Down. It drops this Friday, August 2nd. You can find them at Cowboy Diplomacy, the band. You can also see them, gang. They'll be playing at the W on the 15th of August here in Austin, and they're playing at Empire Control Room on August 28th here in Austin. So get out there, check it out. These dudes are awesome. I always have a great time talking to Ian. This is the first time I ever met Brad. Brad's a cool dude, though. And we get into it. And check it out, gang. I did this interview on the Rodecaster Pro. That's this podcasting machine. So it's going to sound a little bit different, but it's good. It's the same machine I did the Ray Wiley one on. But this time it's three people talking. So it's a little bit different, but it's still very cool. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Ian Cochran and Brad Bentley from the band Cowboy Diplomacy. Let's get down.
Some love, it's time to get down with the get down, self-indulge with the selfish one. I'm in my city where the angels
so,
die and the demons dwell.
The get down.
Yes.
I want to ask you, is it inspired by my catchphrase for this show, let's get down?
No.
Isn't okay. It? I do. I say it all the time. No, I say it on this, just like my catchphrase, like, let's get down, you know?
Well, it's a common catchphrase. A lot of people say it.
Hey, man, it's mine.
it's like the song.
Get down on it.
Yeah.
It wasn't inspired by that either, though.
No, the get down is obviously like the jam.
The
right?
Jam, the party.
The party.
The booze, the alcohol, the women. It's all of that.
It can be in the anti-party, too.
But, like...
Going to a fight.
Oh, that's true.
You're going to court. I'm going to the get-down with the big man.
Ooh.
I don't know.
But there's an opposite side of the get-down, too. Like, for me, personally, the get-down is, like, you know, the party. That's what I think about. If you're, like, getting down... Like, you're getting down, you're having a party.
Yeah.
With all your friends, having a good time.
Yeah.
But there's an opposite side to that, which I feel like, not just me, but Brad, we're both trying to just transition to, is the get down could be, you know, working hard.
Yeah.
Harder at our craft.
Right.
Getting more focused, having self-discipline. Listening to people who can make you better at what we want to do, and ultimately what we want to do is make this music career our career, and like, you know, do it for a living.
Right.
So there's like, you know, what we have been doing, which is partying.
Right.
And then there's getting down to work and like focusing more on that as opposed to
in our first singles,
having a good time.
Yeah, our first single's about both of those kinds of get downs.
Yeah. I noticed that because you name check some different kind of get downs in it. You thought the drinking was a get down, right?
Sometimes it is.
Well, sometimes it is, yes.
Yeah. But mainly it's just transitioning to maybe getting a little bit more serious. Although we are fairly serious for as wild as we are sometimes.
We take
ourselves very seriously, but
it's just one chapter out of the concept album that kind of has an overriding theme throughout all the songs that we're going to be putting out in the next few months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd you record this album with?
Well, we recorded 12 songs total.
Uh-huh, because it's going to be an album that's coming out in some form.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually,
either singles or an album.
Right.
Not sure yet, but we recorded 10 songs with Eric Harrison and Michael Ingber.
Okay.
At 601
Studio
Studios.
601.
Okay.
And then two of the songs we did with Chris Frenchie Smith from The Bubble.
Oh, yeah.
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 So
I saw him on South Lamar today, and I was driving next to his, I think he was driving a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Screaming at him, Frenchie!
He drives a sweet Mercedes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Such a cool car.
Right.
Yeah.
He just moved, he just redid his
whole
studio.
I went to the opening of it.
You did?
Yeah, oh, it was really nice. Yeah.
I want to go check
it
out.
It's pretty unbelievable now.
I bet. But,
yeah. So, how did you decide who to do the songs with? Like,
well, we've known Frenchie for a while since we've been in Austin. Like, we've just known of him, you know?
Right.
Like, because he's the shit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we were like, okay, we should go talk to him and see if what he could do for us and get in the studio, because we would love to work with him. And got in there and did the two songs, and we've had those two songs for
a little over a year.
Probably a little over a year.
And they're great. We like what he did with them. He took them to the next level. We did those songs under a different methodology though than how we recorded the other 10 with Eric Harrison. We did those, we pieced it together. It took all day or 2 days to do those two songs, but the other 10 we recorded live on the first take, so there's kind of a different feel with those two songs compared to the other 10 that we're going to release.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about that when you're recording, and instead of like trying to get a perfect take, or not trying to get a perfect, but trying to get like you know, when you piecemeal something together, you get some drums down, you get this down. There's something about when you're recording an entire band playing together that you're capturing magic.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to rise to a certain place for it to groove, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree.
For it to be the get down.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was cool because when Brad was like, guys, let's just go in there and record all of our songs.
Well, it was emotional because we were losing two of the guys in the band. They were pursuing love interests in different states, and so our band was breaking up. And since then, we've got two new members, but I was like, all right, we didn't record anything in the multiple years we've been working together, just a couple singles, but I was like, let's go in one day and lay out as much as we can. And we were able to squeeze 10 out in about 8 hours, so
that shit, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And Matt Leslie and Phil DeVries were the guys who recorded on the album with us. The two new guys are Billy Boswell and Matt Wilden.
Okay.
They're the two new guys now. But
they're
Has it been an easy transition? Has it kind of changed the face of what you do a little bit? Or
Writing-wise, a little bit.
Easier than I thought it would be. Because a band, you're essentially married to these multiple members, and you can't step on each other's toes too much.
Right.
But they've been so easy to get along with.
Yeah, they're awesome. They play in another band called Gasoline Boots.
Okay.
And we kind of poached them from their band to be in our band. We're like, yo, you guys are awesome. We've known them for like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Living here in Austin, and we've been a huge fan of their music, and we were like, yo, I want to just join our band too and be in your band also. And two bands is better than one.
How much do you guys play? Like, how many gigs a month do you think you play?
It depends, but
hang on one second. Sorry.
Definitely, man.
It's hateful. Sorry.
Well, we got back from a tour.
Yeah, we just went to California.
Weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Arizona.
How did that go?
It was cool, good. Man.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
We've never been on tour. It was our first one. And one day I just woke up and I'm like, you know, I wonder how hard it'd be to book one of those things. So I sat at the computer for like 20 hours, you know, rolled about 40 doobies and went to town just hammering out 200 emails to everyone from here to LA. All the little bars and some of the bigger venues, like we played Whiskey A Go Go. And
oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice. I've never played there. I've been there a few times.
It was cool. We just wanted to play just because of the name.
Sure, of course.
And,
yeah.
You know, they got the whole pay-to-play thing out there. And when we were in a band in San Diego called Trouble in the Jungle, we did the whole House of Blues thing. And it was fun. But out here in Austin, it just seems a lot more accommodable for folks trying to get their, you know, their feet wet in the music industry.
Yeah. Yeah. How did the gig go at Whiskey A Go Go?
It was really cool. Good.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was different. It was a different vibe. I felt like almost like they were like, all right, who's this band from Austin? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
And we like, you had to pay to play. So you'd have to like put down a deposit for a certain amount of money, like half of the tickets that they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
You have to
sell more. And,
yeah,
well, I don't think we sold all the tickets. We probably paid them.
I give a lot of tickets away.
We just gave them away because we wanted everybody to come.
It's our hometown,
family,
right?
Sure. And it was like home state, hometown.
And you're playing like, the Whiskey.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Just come. We want you guys to just be there.
Yeah.
And they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys play with like some weird bands that had nothing to do with anything in your life?
Of course, that's the way they make their money. You know, they'll get whoever wants to play because the name attracts the big bands. 80s cover bands, I guess, are the main feature there at the Whiskey these days. And then you kids coming up that just want to play because it's called the Whiskey.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. How many dates did you do on the way out there?
God, what did we play? 8 or 9?
And was it 2 doobies per hour? Because it was 40 doobies, 20 hours.
It was.
I wondered if you split it up a certain way.
There was an egregious amount of jazz grass in chain smoking fashion. And
it's good, man.
That's the only way I could sit still for that long. And
do you guys go check out the dispensaries when you're there?
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I used to work at one out there in
San
Diego.
I don't smoke marijuana, but...
Oh, you don't? But you go to the dispensary because it's cool.
I've never been
to one.
Because, how long has it been legal there?
A couple years now.
Yeah, I haven't been back since, so I never got a chance. Interesting.
Yeah.
To go, see.
I went a couple weeks ago for the first time.
Oh, nice. Wow.
In
downtown L.A.
Okay. Yeah, it's more expensive up there.
Yeah.
But I prefer San Diego being from there, so... That's just my take.
What's the music scene like in San Diego? Mm. Do you guys have any idea of what's going on there or anything?
I don't
or
even know.
What it was like when you were there?
It definitely doesn't compare to here. Well,
there's a reason that
definitely not.
That famous people don't make it in San Diego. They go somewhere else. Like, I think Tom Waits was from San Diego. And
Slightly Stupid?
Yeah, Slightly. Well,
wasn't the Stone Temple Pilots guy from... there
maybe but the only scene
Stone
there
Temple Pilots
real
oh yeah yeah
Scott Whelan
so. Scott Whelan
yeah, yeah. I don't know, but really reggae is the only hook there, like people go out to see.
Really though, yeah, it's like reggae music. I've never been out to a bar where I've seen anything other than reggae.
Yeah, you
get
rock
country,
but it's covers, like the rock bands will be playing covers. And
what's the place I played there? There's a place that you play when you go there.
Soda Bar?
Nope.
Is it Casbah?
Casbah
and Soda Bar are like the main venues.
The main venues,
like,
yeah.
Touring bands.
Belly Up.
Yeah. Belly Up, too, yeah.
Do you guys play down there in San Diego on this trip or no?
We did. We played the Ballast Point Brewery for my mom's birthday. Our best friend's high up there at Ballast Point, which is one of the bigger breweries in the country. So that was cool. They don't really feature live music there a lot, but I had to pull his leg to get us the gig. So it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when this is coming out. But your single, the single drops Friday, August 2nd. You're playing July 25th at 1-1 Bar here. Playing July 26th at the Belmont.
Yes.
Who are you opening for at the Belmont?
Bishop Gunn.
Okay.
They're a rock band out of Mississippi. Natchez, Mississippi. I think that's how you say it.
Okay. Mm.
And they're apparently
opening for the Stones the next day in Houston.
Yeah.
So that's what we're playing with.
They're really, I mean, I've never seen them live, but I've obviously looked them up since our friend Jared,
Jared Vincent, he works at Red Door Presents. It's his own like booking company. He kind of got us started here in Austin, and
oh, that's cool.
And we've been friends ever since. And he was like, "Yo, this cool band's coming to town, and want you guys to play with them. I think it'd be a great match." And we're like, "Well, hell yeah!" And I looked them up, and they're fantastic. They're a great rock band. I mean, they sound really, really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna check them out.
Yeah, check them out for sure.
Go to that show, see what's going on.
Yeah,
that's a oh shit, I won't be here. Oh,
okay.
Who are you playing with at One to One Bar?
We're playing with
It's always a toss up.
It's all right.
Oh my god, I forgot her name, but she's
a woman.
Yeah,
she's a woman.
Yeah. Oh man,
she's probably great.
Oh god, I totally forgot off the top of my head.
Consult.
What?
Phone.
When did you move here from San Diego? When did you guys move here?
October 1st, 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been here 4 years.
Yeah, almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
The town's been good to us.
Yeah, it. I mean, you got some good shows coming up.
Yeah, we've been stacking a good amount of money for
Kate Howard.
Oh yeah, Kate Howard.
No, I'm pretty sure you and Kate Howard, and then we're playing with Curtis McMurtry.
McMurtry. That's James McMurtry's son and Larry McMurtry's grandson.
Oh wow!
The Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
And Last Picture Show author.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Pat Byrne, Gravel Tooth, and us.
Shit, man! Wow, you got a whole thing going on.
Yeah. No.
Like a 2-day Austin tour.
Called me randomly and was like, "Hello, I'm Kate Howard.
One to One would have the best sound in town.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, their sound over there is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Kurt.
Oh, it's Kurt.
It's the guy.
It's the guy. That's the bald dude, right?
Yeah.
He just
had his first day off.
He told me last time I saw him, he's like, "I work here 7 days a week."
He works 7 days. And the thing is, he wants a day off. He just doesn't want anyone to ever walk into One to One Bar and the sound not be perfect.
Well, that makes
I think he's like one of the best guys in town.
I've said it ever since we played there. It's the best sound.
Yeah.
Anywhere that we've ever played.
Yeah, you can send them like your... I do this thing where I send them like a set list, basically like a songs in the list of the set, because I switch between guitar and keyboards and acoustic guitar, electric guitar and shit. Sort of give him a couple of notes, but also just send him the tune so he knows what he's getting himself into.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's a good...
sure.
Those guys all really appreciate that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Those are some things that people don't really always get, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's one of those things where Kurt is such an there are sound men that don't give a fuck. They never listen to it or something. Yeah, it's always worth it because there's a guy like Kurt that's going to listen to everything and go like, "Oh, the guitar solo in this song comes after the third. Okay. All right." And he knows
That is so cool. That is dedication.
He is not fucking around, dude.
To his finest.
He is literally the sound man of that club.
100%. And he's the nicest guy
ever. Nicest guy. Super easy to work with. Usually the best guys are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Find that?
Did
you guys have to audition guys when your guys left? Or you just kind of knew those two guys and you were like, hey.
Thank God we didn't.
Yeah.
We were just like, let's do it. And they were so down. Billy and Matt were so down there.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you moved here, was it just you two that moved here?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you had to put a band together then?
And we had a band.
How did you do that?
Brad found the Matt Leslie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On the streets.
I'm a prospector, man. We had a band in San Diego, and we went on a vacation in Nashville and Austin, and we saw what it was like to be in a... like an apex musical experience where people are just killing it.
Yeah.
And so we knew that we had to be out here or out there in Nashville to attract some good players. And I saw this, when we got in, we got a shit job at the South Congress Hotel with some valet boys. And we were only there for a little bit just to kind of, you know, pay the bills when we moved into town, find a quick job. And this guy was playing drums across the street one day, like a month after we moved into town, for what seemed like 6 hours. And so I had to walk across the street and introduce myself and slide him our crappy demo we had out there in Santa Monica. And he, you know, started playing with us. That was Matt Leslie. We played together for two and a half years.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. And he's the greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
Him and Phil, too. We found Phil. Phil, we found who was in a band with Matt.
Oh, see?
And then,
all you need to find is one guy.
Yeah.
And he's your ticket to the other guys.
Right, right. And then they decided that music, or at least our band, wasn't the way they wanted to go, and which we totally understood. You know,
well, it's easy to be disillusioned. They love the music, but it's like, you know, their women were like, "Hey, I can't wait on you forever." Like, you're gonna be with rock and roll.
Yeah, and it was totally okay. We had a little misunderstanding between like songwriting credits and stuff, but we're like figuring it out now. And
that's good.
And we're all like, we all just love each other. We're all brothers, you know. And
yeah.
All gravy. All gravy.
All gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things are always kind of tough. There's like, it's tough to make a relationship work when you're in this thing, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, it just, you exhaust the, it's difficult when, it takes a special kind of person to be in a relationship with someone whose thing is like me. And it's not just like narcissism, it's like your job. You know what I mean? Like, I have to, no, I can't go to Pecan Street all day. I've got a gig tonight. I should probably take a nap because the people that are, the way I make my living is by making those people happy.
Yeah.
I may not be able to do it if I'm walking around all day in the, you know what I mean?
Totally.
All those kind of things, like, those are things that ruin your relationships. Yeah.
It's a responsibility you have to, like, other people. Like, yeah, in your band, you know, like
people in your band, the people that buy your shit.
Depending on, we're all depending on each other to do a good job and perform well and not be a fucker.
Yeah,
you know.
I bet there's. I haven't found a way. I'm like 50 and single, like divorced, the whole jam.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm doing good. I'm
yeah, keep that up.
Thanks, man. I've been trying. Been doing what I can. Well, also, like, yeah, a woman. I've had a woman move in here into this specific place.
They can't be defeated.
And the thing is like, they're like, I don't have room for my life here.
Of course.
Like, there's not even room for me in your life, right, physically.
Man, there's nothing I love more, but at the end of the day, like, man, living with one long term, I've done it a handful of times. It's just so hard. It's hard. Not knocking them.
No,
it's
no.
The greatest thing ever.
The institution itself is a little weird.
Right, there are expectations.
There's expectations.
I don't think you should settle down with a steady squeeze until you can give them some dental coverage.
That's true.
Yeah, or take care of them.
Take care of them. I need my pet giraffe and my 40 acres. And
like, have yourself stable.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That comes first.
Yeah.
I need to be wealthy before.
That comes first. And if you put like your girlfriend or somebody that you love in a unstable thing.
Yeah.
And that's not good for them.
It breeds insecurity.
Generally, what makes a person like us is instability. That's what makes us so groovy. You know what I mean?
That's why they love us. They like projects.
We're always trying
it's to. So weird, isn't
always
it?
Always trying to find stability at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's like, God, with the whole music and your actual day job and.
Two years ago, I was actually interviewed for Psychology Today about this very issue, about growing older, being in a band, and being a cool dude in like your late 40s isn't being cool isn't a currency with women as they get older. They want like a guy with like a job and like that wants to go to a place with them.
Right.
Not that has to go to sound check at 6 at one to one. And I can't put all your friends on the guest list, or you know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
Well, there's so many different types of people. And maybe for a guy like you, Johnny, you would attract the woman who just got out of the divorce and she's looking to cut loose in a midlife crisis. And she comes to your band.
Yep.
And you're rocking it. And you're servicing her.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I have serviced this style of person. I'm in a cover band called Skyrocket where that's basically our audience.
Nice. Yeah, and that's not a bad audience.
It's not a bad audience to have. Anyway, so you did this tour out west, and are there plans to do it again? Because that's always the tough part about doing one of those tours is that
on the 20-hour drive back, I was thinking about it early spring, maybe March or April after we dropped the album, prospecting, going east, north, and then west, going to New Orleans and then up to Atlanta, across to Nashville.
Depending on,
do you guys play regionally? Like, do you guys go to Houston and to Dallas and to?
No.
It's a little easier than trying to do the whole country.
I think the reason we don't do as many tours is because we haven't put out enough product yet. I want to put out product. I think we should, and then we'll market it. We'll do all those things, and then see what the response is, and then kind of direct a tour and leave town.
In the new, you guys did this album. Do you write most of the songs, Ian, or you guys write
mainly,
together collectively?
Mainly,
yeah.
But But Brad helps. I mean, Phil and Matt helped also.
I'd say Ian bakes the cake and we put on the frosting.
Yeah.
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 That's a good way to handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all like mutually come together. You know, I usually have like the idea and then we just kind of bring it all together and figure it out together as a band.
That's
usually how it's gone.
Is it just like you're on guitar singing?
Yeah. Like I usually write the songs like acoustically and then kind of build some sort of format and then we just kind of piece every other instrument together with the structure.
There's some I didn't hear the rest of the songs on the album. I just heard The Get Down.
Oh, okay.
But that song has like some not that your other stuff didn't. Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
There's some fire in it. Is that one of the songs you did live?
Which ones?
The Get Down?
Live where?
Who'd you record
like
that?
Actual fire?
There's some fire in the performance.
Oh, okay.
Like there's like some aggression going on.
Yeah, that was through Eric and Michael.
So that's you guys playing live together.
Yes.
We brought in the horns after the fact.
Okay. But the general track is you guys.
We tracked the whole thing live and then went in and redid a vocal, redid a guitar, redid some horns.
You laid down the foundation together. I think that's probably what gives it that little...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, like you said, like there's something about recording a track live that just... I don't know. I mean, maybe like... people who don't play music can't really tell, but like people who do, I think kind of can, because I said it's like it's got a little something to it.
I think that you can look at the brilliance in both of the things and go even just like go listen to like with the Beatles, the first Beatles record, and then listen to like Sgt. Pepper, where they're like taking different parts of songs from a tape and singing, basically like almost doing like very primitive Pro Tools kind of editing with their recording. And they're like, while She's Leaving Home and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds are just these beautiful epic recordings. Dude, I Want to Hold Your Hand kicks you in the nuts. You know what I mean? Like, it might not have the sophisticated recording style, but it has this energy of like, it's palpable.
Right.
It's making the hair on my arm stand up, just talking about it. It's like, it just got that fucking thing.
There's so many different ways to record music. And for this project, we're going with the old school.
You should, because I think that goes well with your music. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not perfect on the tempo. You know, it's not, we didn't go to a track, so it's, but in the imperfection, we find the soul of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I think it personifies the way we, you know, go about our reality day to day.
Yes.
Do you guys have you guys gotten like some radio traction, at least like even here? Like, do they play you?
No, we haven't really tried. We dropped a single a few years ago.
That's the last time you were on, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We've been kind of quiet.
Follow Me, No Alibi are the only songs we have on Spotify. And that was like two years ago, a year and a half ago. We released those, yeah.
We got a full clip now, though, so we got a lot of different... different products to push, and maybe one of them will hit.
Yeah.
At least on the radio.
Yeah.
Hopefully
send
on the radio.
I don't even know how to, like, how would we go about it?
Isn't that a weird thing? Like, you're like, how do I get,
do they hit you up, or do you, like, send your own shit to them, or?
Well, I mean.
Bug them? I'm like, hey, do you want to put this on your radio, or what?
I'm sure when Spoon's working on a record at some point, Jeff McCord from KUTX.
Yeah.
Goes like, hey, you got any of that stuff we can play? But guys like us, it's more of a we have to solicit them on the thing.
Cool. Well, we're going to solicit the fuck out of it when we get it ready.
Yeah.
And just bug people to put it on there.
Probably.
And hopefully they like it and put it on there.
Yeah. You can also invite those people to these, like this show you're doing with the people at the Belmont.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's a good idea.
Write an invitation.
Those kind of things, you know, hey, come on out. You want to come out to the show? Check out the band. You know, here's our single. I'll put you on the list.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to be jerked off. Everybody.
Give the contact information for the some of the bigger radio stations and maybe send them an email along with the attachment with the single.
There's an email. There's also, like, you can find out where these people are because they host events all
show
the time.
To their house.
Well,
man, their wife cooked you a steak.
It's probably not as a... I've actually had, I think the last time that Lori Gallardo was on the show, I talked to her about this. I was like, what pisses you off? Like, How does someone piss you off and not get played on the radio? And she went through the whole thing.
So what was it? Can you tell us now?
I can't remember. Well, definitely I remember one of them was don't write her on Facebook Messenger.
Ooh, copy
like that.
That
is like a... Absolutely. For some reason, that's
no,
a,
no.
I don't like that either. When people are soliciting stuff and they come at me like that, I'm always like, dude, just fucking, what is wrong with you?
I booked some of our dates.
Well, what would you
so do I sometimes.
What would you recommend, though, as opposed to
you got to
like
find
email
their
or?
Email at the thing. Yeah. You just got to, it's all research shit.
Okay, cool.
Does your publicist, do they know?
Jillian. Yes.
She know those guys?
Yes. She could help us out for sure.
It's probably...
helping us out.
Anyone you can get that has the key to the gate, like just to at least get in and give the thing to the guy. Because that's the thing is, like, sometimes it's just lost in the shuffle because they're like, cowboy diplomacy, don't know him. Anyway, you know what I mean?
Gatekeeper.
Right,
yeah.
right. That makes sense.
Yep.
Someone that tells them you're good.
Yeah.
Representation.
Yeah, man. So you're putting out this single on August 2nd.
It's premiering on Ground Sounds.
Okay.
The 25th.
Okay. But then on the 25th?
25th of July. And then
okay, that's good to know.
And then...
Because I can't. I'll probably put this podcast out then after that.
Okay.
So that I don't step on those guys.
Cool.
Because I'll be playing it on... I mean, I'll play it on here, too.
Sweet.
Nice.
What do they need? Like 48 hours or something?
I think it's a 24-hour window where they're...
It'll be like the next Tuesday when my show comes out. So that's fine. It'll still be before the 2nd.
Yeah.
But it'll be
it's
after
getting,
these shows.
It's getting streamed
about.
On all musical platforms on the 2nd.
Okay.
That's what, like an official release. It's just premiering there on Ground Sounds for the 25th.
And then when it'll be available for people to stream on the 2nd?
2nd, okay. Yes.
Adding another tune to the Spotify arsenal.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's been too long, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm excited.
I'm hoping we can get them all out by the end of the year. It better be under the Christmas tree. The whole album.
Yeah, man. You should be able to do that.
Yeah.
We were talking about singles. So
maybe do a single every month for a few months. And then
put out
singles.
The album.
Yeah. How many... This is always a question I wonder, but like I feel like most bands do a single, then wait a month, do another single, and then they drop... the album. I feel like that's a trend that a lot of people have been doing, but like we're kind of
that's what I was thinking
we were gonna do.
Yeah.
But maybe just do more singles and then like half singles, half album. Like I don't know. Like what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't. Because I'm not the only one. I don't think anyone actually does. And if someone tells you they do, maybe they're right. I don't know, but I don't like. It's also the style of music that you play. Like the style, like that sounds like the way that a pop band kind of lays out their release, right?
Right.
Or rolls out their release in a slow. Oh, here's a single. Boom, the record.
Yeah.
At the same time, like it's not like before. Like your song doesn't take a while to start. Like sometimes it'd be like 4-5 months before a song started making its way because the band was touring, people were seeing them, and the song was starting to get picked up a little bit. One station starts playing it here, another guy here, and then that like, takes
months. Build up.
Now it's like you put out your record and it's like that day and that's it. Like the next day you wake up and you got to start working on your next record. You don't have like a couple months to like promote your record. So to me, if you're going to have that fast of a fucking... what's it called when people scroll, like a scrolling, like that's, it's just going to go by once.
So if you do all 10
songs on the record, then it just goes by once. But if you release singles, then every month or so you can get people's attention with something new.
Keep them curious.
Yeah. Or keep them interested.
And I feel like that's how it's the music industry is now.
Yeah.
It's like singles.
And completely confused as well.
But like when people are releasing singles, they're like Drake or Beyonce.
Right.
You know?
People
not
are
like,
waiting for those singles.
Well, that's
like,
what you're hearing.
Yeah, like, people aren't waiting for...
Not like people... Like,
right, like us.
Our band.
Yeah.
No one knows who the fuck we are besides people who... some people who live in Austin.
Right. There's like a couple people that are freaking out.
Yeah.
It's going to change their life when this record comes about. But as far as the general public, they'll see it
so
as they scroll.
Is that a good thing to do for a band who's nobody to release singles like that? Or is it just better out to just blow your load on the whole album and... do two singles, then release the whole thing. So that's where I'm like,
well,
that's where I'm at.
That's where I get to where, like, how many times do you guys, and I'm using social media a lot as an example, but that's kind of like where all of this stuff is, that's where it all goes, right? That's how it's kind of distributed now. I mean, you can find it on Spotify, but you're going to hear about it on Twitter or Instagram or something, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is there's a culture of hype that everybody's picked up on, and we all have seen people in our same level going like, big announcement coming next week. What fucking big announcement are you going to make?
Right.
You're not Apple. You're not going to change the fucking thing.
Song coming out.
Yeah.
Big announcement.
Yeah, and it is.
Man, I said the same thing. When we were releasing our old singles, they were like, we got to do a release party. And I was always the devil's advocate. I'm like, why are we doing a release party? No one knows who the fuck we are. Let's just put this shit out and see what happens, man.
Yeah, just play shows until you get an audience.
And that's what we've been doing.
I mean, that's the thing, yeah.
We've been doing that for a long time now, just playing as many shows as possible.
Well, playing in front of this band that's open, I've never even heard them, but I mean, if I was your manager, I'd be stoked. Like, oh, they're getting in front of the band that's opening for the Stones. They have a night off. They're playing here. Like, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, super cool. We're stoked about it.
Yeah.
Just trying to get as many people to that as possible, obviously. And I think ticket sales are going good.
Good.
That show so far.
Good.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys travel in a van? Do you have a van?
Yeah,
two
vans.
Oh, good. Whoa.
I bought a van, and then
to get a bus, probably.
Matt Wilden from the Gasoline Boots, he's got a van as well, so.
And it's good to travel. That's why you guys are confident touring.
Totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We only travel in one van at a time, but we got a backup van.
Yeah, that's not many bands have that, dude.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
It's the beauty of having a couple members in another band.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, man, it's interesting that you did get all those shows. It really was in 20 hours? Are you exaggerating?
I sat down for an entire day, like sun up to sundown, and I sent probably in between 100 and 200 emails to like every type of bar I could. I'd Google live music venues in each bigger city from here west, you know, on through down to San Diego and Los Angeles. We played up in Santa Barbara, too. And
it did.
Oh, that's a nice place.
Overnight.
But it didn't, because we would get the...
No, but you did all of the solicitation in one sitting.
Like 2 months before we left. And
right, I booked it 2 months ahead of
which
time.
Which is not a lot of advance.
No, that's not a lot of advance. That's really good.
And then I kind of went in and like figured out other spots that we could fill in tour dates. And
right, he cleaned it up.
We made it happen within 2 months. I mean, maybe not the best venues, but the whole reason we wanted to go is because him and I had never been on a tour before.
Right.
So I wanted to
see what it's like.
Experience it.
Yeah.
And see how we could do on the road with these two new members.
Yeah.
We were going to go to our hometown, see our family. Like, it was just...
Yeah, it's good.
It was just, it wasn't about like where we were playing and like how many bands we were going to make or during this. It was just
building camaraderie.
We wanted to like experience it and just have a good time.
And you guys came back, everyone was still laughing as you were pulling into Austin.
It was better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Like it couldn't have gone any better. The driving was brutal, but other than that, like everything went very, very smoothly.
Good.
So
good.
It was. Good. It was good.
I think I could do it 300 days out of the year, personally.
Yes. Yeah,
so I had a great time being stuck in that small van with three other stinky dudes.
That's what it takes, man. I mean, you gotta be good, you gotta make good music, but you also gotta be able to endure.
And some people can't do that.
That shit. Some people can't.
You just gotta stay healthy. I know he can, and I know I can, because we did it together, and I know Matt and the other guy can, too. Buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't blow yourself out, and we partied hard this first tour, and by the end of it, you know...
By the end of it, we were tapped out, but we did that because like we just wanted to have a good
time. Just wanted to have a good time. You just wanted to go on a tour and do it.
Yes,
right.
Which I think is badass, man. You got to do it.
That's the only reason we did it.
You probably made some connections at clubs, so now next time you go out west, there's probably at least a couple places you can just call. Hey, Dave, it's me.
Right,
Brad.
We overbooked and had to turn away some venues, and they said, "All right, well, next time then you could play."
That's cool.
So there's a few places in LA that'll host us next time. But man, we were at towards the tail end. It was rough. We had to cancel our last show in El Paso, which was on a Monday night, because we were just like, nope, we're going to Austin.
Gotta go home.
We got to go home now.
Yeah.
How long were you gone?
11 days.
11 days. Yeah.
Which is not a long time.
No, to start canceling the last gig. Right, yeah. That's pretty. Guys must have been pretty brutalized.
Well, it was the nutrition we were on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We already told ourselves the next time we do this,
you can't.
We have to be responsible and take care of ourselves.
Of course.
Right.
Well, and not just this isn't the whole part. This is our job. Like,
yeah.
But this time around, we're like, okay, let's have a good time. Let's have fun.
There is a balance.
Gotta find the balance.
Yeah.
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 Gotta pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
And we didn't pick and choose our battles. We just battled every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know this.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Casual 10-hour drinking sessions for 10 days in a row. That whole thing.
Something yeah. I had the last long tour that I went on that was months was with Ian Moore. You guys know him?
No.
Yes.
And that one was a pedal to the metal, get down tour, no tour manager, just us.
How long?
I was out for 2.5 months.
Oh my poor God.
Jeez.
It's pretty intense, man. The days off that we had that
Ian
we didn't
Moore
drive.
Lives, well, he's from here, right?
He's from here, but he lives in Seattle.
Okay, yeah.
So you go everywhere in America, with 2.5 months to kill?
Yes, we went everywhere in America, both coasts.
Oh, man.
The middle.
That's driving in a van?
Driving in a Sprinter, yeah.
Where's your favorite place to play?
Nice. I like all of the East Coast and the Midwest a lot. The drives are short.
Yeah.
And it seems like the enthusiasm is a lot higher.
East Coast?
In the audience, the East Coast and Midwest.
Right. Huh. Yeah, they're not as convenienced by, the edge of the free world like in California. It's probably why there's no music scene in San Diego.
The West Coast drives me nuts because the fucking drives, to leave Austin to go to El Paso is a day.
That's the worst.
I mean, it's like...
El Paso is the worst.
And then it doesn't get better,
Because everything's so close to each other on the East Coast.
Yes. You're just two hours.
Bam, bam, that's cool.
Even.
And that's something.
Yeah.
I've never even been really to the East Coast, aside from Florida. But, yeah.
I did. Over there. There was one tour that I did that we had a bunch of dates in around New York. So we just stayed in New York. And, I mean, we had a tour manager and a guy that would take our shit to the thing. But we would just jump on a train late in the afternoon and head out to the, Asbury Park, New Jersey, take the train back home that night, and then, head out to the train to Long Island or some shit. But you can do that stuff. It's kind of nice.
Wow.
And I'm not a big fan of the long drives.
No, not many people are. Yeah, they take a lot of energy out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of brutal.
Soul-sucking.
That's another thing we would figure out how to not do is drive for 18 hours straight.
There's always that in a thing, dude. There's a. I remember one time we played in. We had a gig in Athens, Georgia, which is 40 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then the next day we were playing in Tampa, Florida.
Oh my.
And then
God.
The day after that we were playing in Atlanta.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. It's just like
that's
fuck.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, and they got to keep you working.
That's
the
life.
The booking agents have to.
Hey man, if there's people out there that are willing to jam out with you, then you got to play with them,
Yeah, man.
That's the way it is. If people were to come out to our shows anywhere, Japan, Istanbul, I want to go play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that normal people don't realize. Like my grandma, sometimes I'll be talking to her and she'll be like, you look so tired. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. She's like, well, just tell them you can't go tonight. To the gig? She's like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's not how this whole thing works, man.
Yeah.
No.
Can't do that.
It's not like my shift at fucking Macy's.
Yeah.
It's
right.
They don't have another guy that comes in and is me.
You could have pneumonia, on your deathbed, and you better show up.
You go and you play the gig, man.
You better show up.
There's other dudes that got to get paid and stuff, man. It's crazy.
Of course, yeah.
Well, man, I'm glad that you guys got a new record together. You got some new tunes coming out, dropping them.
Yeah, we'll have to lay you the demo under the covers, though. Can't talk about it.
I won't.
Okay.
No. I've got so many secrets inside of me.
Yeah, you seem like the type.
That's funny that you say that because I actually do. Cool, I actually do have too many secrets. Is there anything, there's, do you have shows after the 25th and 26th?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Mid-August, I think the 15th, we're at the top of the W Hotel. It's like a poolside
party. Whoa. What day is that?
I got them all right here.
Yeah, you tell me that W date right now. I love that kind of show.
Yeah?
Dude.
Cool off, man.
Yeah, it's so fun up there.
Oh my God.
We play there once.
I get drunk and float in a pool and watch my friends play. Fuck, that is killer.
Yeah, it's good. It's
better than that, yeah. One-to-one at
that's 25th,
and then the Belmont, 26th, Belmont, and then the W Hotel on the 15th.
Of August.
Of August, and then on the August 28th, Empire Control Room.
Oh, yeah.
For a new musical app, it's called Loom.
Yeah, Loom. It's a big thing now, you know, I notice.
Okay.
I only know it because my friends on social media are like, hey, check out my stuff's on Loom.
We're part of Loom. We met the guys, and they're amazing guys, and... They asked us to be brand ambassadors, and we're like, absolutely.
No shit.
You guys are fucking awesome.
That's okay, so tell me about Loom. That's enough dates. They can go. Guys, if you got to find out when Cowboy Diplomacy is going playing, go to cowboydiplomacy.band.
Yes.
And also, if you live in Austin, I'll see you in the pool at the W on my Uncle Chuck's birthday, August 15th. All right, so go ahead. Tell me about Loom. What is it?
You probably have a better explanation on how to explain.
Come on, brand ambassador.
It's essentially a hybrid of Spotify and Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can... Are we off the record?
No.
Oh, we're not? We're still on?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so it's you pretty much... It's like a... God,
man. What are
you going to say? Oh, I thought we concluded. We're still on.
It's run by Putin.
All right. This Loom app, you need to listen to it because it's going to be the next cool thing to do. You go on Facebook, right? It's kind of like MySpace, how you can have music on your profile, and it'll bridge the experience of listening to music, like in Spotify, but then reaching out to the artist, like on a Facebook social media page where you can hear what they're doing and then write to them or subscribe to their videos, inquire about tour dates and pretty much everything about the operation they're running. So it's just like an easier access to the band while still getting the gist of their art
and engaging with your fans more,
right?
Because they could reach out to you and be like, hey, this is really cool, actually this really sucks. You could get like anything from them, like right there and right then and there on your little profile. It's pretty. And then upload tracks.
Yeah it's
good or like bad it. Feedback
I hope it works for them, because I you know, when you come across a new idea, especially in, you know, startup land like Austin, most of them don't work out. I think that it's actually 91% of startups fail in like the first year or few years. But this is an idea that I think could actually work out for people that like music.
Yeah.
This is a super cool idea, and the guys there are great.
Yeah.
Guys and gals are really
cool. They came to town and met you guys and stuff.
Yeah, they came over to our house and was like, hey, what's up? You guys want to be a part of this?
Really? Yeah, did you guys ever hear of that Gig Town app?
Yeah, Gig Town.
Had those guys on here once. Somebody was like, oh, you got to get these guys on.
Yeah. We did that for a while. I don't. What did we make off that? Like 75 cents?
Well, there I don't was know, one thing. We were subscribed to the Gig Town.
There was
Town
one thing where if a person said they were going to your show, then Gig Town would pay you like $5.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, you know, like that's just their seed money. You're like, oh, you're just going to blow through your. It's interesting. Is that still around?
You haven't heard of them, so I'm not sure.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Them or anything like that. Yeah,
it's just weird because it's weird when you get an app like that, and I have to sell something on stage that's not our music. Like if I got to talk about an app or something at a show, unless we're playing for a party that is celebrating that company or that product.
Yeah, and they're paying you a bunch of money to talk about it. Yeah,
sell it, but I wouldn't. Like I think Gig Town's angle was we had to like shout them out every time we play to get people to check in, and now I just feel like a walking billboard, you know?
Yeah. They came in and did the podcast, and I got their spiel and stuff, and I just was like, this seems, why don't I just go play shows and get people to come out to them and then they pay? Like, I don't understand why we now have to do this whole new thing. Yeah. And then you have to pay me $5 for everyone. Why should you have to pay?
Right,
you're not even there.
It didn't make much sense to me. Yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, it seems like the industry of music's like a repeating occurrence of trying to reinvent the wheel. And sometimes you could reinvent the wheel in the wrong fashion.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, they were just trying to do something. I never downed anyone for that.
Right, yeah, they were just trying to make a living.
It's probably those dudes that started Loom. It's the same guys. They took their leftover money.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out Loom. Do you just sign up and get on it?
Yeah. You should sign up as your...
My music, yeah.
Yes, music on there.
Totally.
I'm going to do that.
You upload your tracks and... You just put them up there. Like, we put our single out on Loom just to put it up there for now. And
okay.
And it'll be on all the other things later, but it's on there now. And
so the Get Down is on Loom? So if you're on Loom, you can get into the Get Down right now?
Yes, you can.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. It's on there.
Is there anything I'm missing, bros? It's great to talk to you guys. This was a nice, informative conversation.
Thank you
conversation.
For having us, man.
Yeah, this was fun.
Thank you very much.
You're laid back, kind of...
I always appreciate a good interviewer because it helps the conversation run smooth.
Thanks, man.
We've had interviews in the past where it didn't go as smooth.
Not many, though.
Yeah. There's. I've done some where I've taken over the thing even before I was an interviewer.
Yeah.
As the interviewee, if I spotted any weakness in the interviewer, I would just like, boom, this is my show now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an art form in itself.
Sorry, all right, you're done talking.
Well, I always, you know, touring with Ian, I remember one day we were on some radio show and he was like, oh, you know, the band is called the Lossy Coils because electricity runs in a positive, negative way, north to south, and the poles, and I was just looking at him, I was like, no one wants to fucking... Let's talk about all the blow we did last night, man. That's the shit people want to hear. You know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah. I'm just joking. We didn't do that.
We retired. We switched to ketamine now. Yeah, it's easier on the nose.
That's isn't that the knock you out thing?
If you do too much of it,
yeah,
in moderation, like most things.
Never.
Do you guys?
Yeah, I don't think
the one thing about drinking on the road is that you don't make enough money to really drink all the time.
Oh, well, you know, we didn't dive into any of the money we made to drink or do any of the things.
Yeah.
Like
we definitely lost money on this trip.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Of course, there's no way you're not going to lose money on your first
tour. But it was close, man. It wasn't like we almost broke even, which is pretty good, I feel like, for first time out on the road and breaking the bank.
You broke even. I bought a $2,000 bass out there.
Oh, there you go.
The band broke even.
I did, bro.
Killer.
Badass bass.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I've never even known they existed. I saw Guitar Center and I had to have it.
It's a Gretsch White Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's bass. Something else.
Fuck yeah, dude, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, that's worth losing money over. Cool stuff.
Of course.
Yeah,
I'll eat ramen for the next couple months.
The band, we cut even though.
Yeah,
the band
so
did.
I was happy with that, but you personally,
no.
I mean, and I kind of dove into my own personal funds as well, but
right.
Like, that
band,
happens.
We broke even.
Yeah,
you gotta
do fine with me.
Yeah. Well, man, it's been great talking to you guys. People can find you guys at cowboydiplomacy.band. The single is The Get Down. It drops August 2nd for all of you people everywhere. You'll hear it on this show a couple days before.
Sweet.
But in pieces, not in its entirety. So if people want to record it in some way, they can't.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you guys for doing the show, dude. Great meeting you, Brad.
Thanks, John.
You're the man.
As well.
Yeah,
cool. That was great.
Oh, why am I coming here? That was hilarious. Ian Cochran and Brad Bentley from the band Cowboy Diplomacy. Find them at cowboydiplomacy.band. The Get Down, that's the song you're hearing right there, will be available on all platforms this Friday, August 2nd. Don't forget, you can see them August 15th at the W Hotel here in Austin or at Empire Control Room on August 28th. Go to cowboydiplomacy.band. Gang, and also check out Loom. I haven't checked it out yet. I actually just listened to that whole show. I sat here and folded my laundry and cleaned my living room and listened to that whole show as I was recording it down. And that was a great conversation, man. We were really trying to find some answers to some stuff. And those guys are really great guys, man. I love what they're doing. Cowboydiplomacy.band. Get out there and check them out. They're going to have a full album hopefully out by the end of the year. But their single, The Get Down, comes out this Friday, August 2nd, wherever it is that you stream or download your jams. But it's available on Loom right now. So I don't know. Go to our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Let me know about Loom. Should I get on there? Should I check it out? What's going on with Loom? They're brand ambassadors, these guys. Hey, gang, while you're out there checking out cowboydiplomacy.band, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you stream and download the podcast, including places like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Android Podcast, of course, the Podbean app. You can get the Podbean app. You can get all your – you just basically, like, podcasts are available everywhere. But if you want to check out more than the latest 20 episodes, which is what's available on all the platforms, you have to go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Howdidigethere.podbean.com. Search down the right-hand column. You can go by month. Goes through years and months. And open them up. Find conversations. You can actually go back and listen to the first time Cowboy Diplomacy was on here. That's right. All right, gang. Have a great day or week, whatever it is you're doing this week. Do it up. Live your life well. I'll be checking in with my brother and sister, talking about my dad, figuring out what's going on. I'll keep you guys abreast of the situation, let you know how we do. The Get Down, the new single by Cowboy Diplomacy. Thanks to Brad and Ian for coming by. Great talking to those guys. Let's get down.
Don't think twice if you do. The creature will make a meal out of you. Seas. Fight for the funk running through your bloodstream. All the colors in the rainbow took me for some red, white, blue, green. Where does that rainbow end? Are the colors gray? Are the colors dead? Is it get down the drugs in the